right, with your Bibles in your hands, let's just bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this last Sunday of the year. You've brought us this far, but you didn't bring us this far to leave us. Now, God, I'm praying that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Let it be all of you and less of me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, would you repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. Finally, and most importantly, we communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Pastor Andre, preach this thing. Amen. Put your hands together one more time. All right, so we've been in this series, and we started off this series looking at Advent. And so we'll have them put that up there, the Advent, which means Advent, which is a season of expectation in Christendom. Advent is the several Sundays leading up till Christmas. And so we have been preaching that, but I wanted to go beyond the Sunday after Christmas, because I wanted to keep it going. I don't want us to just think about Christ during Christmas. I want us to keep thinking about him all the time. And whenever you come to the close of a year, you need to have Christ on your mind. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I couldn't have made it this far if it wasn't for Christ. Bump, Santa, and the reindeer. I needed Christ to keep my mind together, to keep me from going crazy. I need Christ. And so my expectation is still up. It's still high. I didn't get everything I wanted this year. This year was rough and hard, but I thank God I didn't lose my mind. I thank God I'm still here. I give Christ the glory. And so because of that, we have been in a series called Adventures in Praise. So we've been looking at Advent. Advent and adventure has the same Latin roots. And so we said Adventures in Praise. And what we've been doing, we've been working through three particular psalms. We had Psalms 96, Psalms 97, and Psalms 98. We have a line drawn through 96 and 97 because we already finished those in the previous weeks. And this week we are on Psalms 98. Somebody say Psalms 98. And so today is Adventures in Praise, part 3. Somebody say part 3. Amen. And so let's start with Psalms 98:1, and then we're going to preach from there. 98:1a.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
Read it one more time.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
What kind of song?
A new song.
And why?
For he has done marvelous things.
All right, that brings me to point number one. Let's praise God in newness of spirit and mind for what he's already done. Now, I'm an old me, but the scripture says I need to sing a new song. So how do I sing a new song being the same old me? Well, I have to have newness of mind, because my body's not changing. I'm not going to turn to 6'4" tomorrow. It's not going to happen. God is a miracle worker, but I've been waiting on that miracle a long time, and I don't think it's going to happen. So I'm going to have to learn how to praise God with an old me, but still sing a new song. I'm going to have newness of mind and newness of spirit, and I'm going to have to praise him for what he's already done. Problem is, we're oftentimes looking for what he's going to do and what he's doing right now, and we forget what he's already done. So the Bible says sing a new song because he's done some marvelous things. You may not have seen anything in 2020, but if you look back over your life, he's done some marvelous things. So going into a new year, you need a new song. It's the same you, but you need a new song. The Bible says of the children of Israel, they were in exile. And the people who had them in bondage said, sing to us one of those songs of Zion. And the response was, how can we sing when we're in a strange land? I'm in bondage. I'm in prison. And here you want me to sing to you and entertain you. But how am I going to sing when I'm depressed? How am I going to sing when I'm broke? How am I going to sing when I'm losing my mind? How am I going to sing when everything's gone wrong? How am I going to sing when I lost my mother and I lost my father and I was sitting up with COVID and I had a ventilator put to my mouth? How am I going to sing in a strange land? But our apostle preached a message years ago and said they should have sang. Even though you're in a strange land, nobody can take your song. Depression can't take my song. COVID can't take my song. Cancer can't take my song. You lied on me, but you can't take my song. You better sing a new song because he's done marvelous things. Well, Pastor, how's it been marvelous when 2020 has been all kinds of crazy? Are you still here? Are you still breathing? Do you still have the activity of your limbs? Do you still have a mouth? Do you still have lips? Do you still have food on your table? Do you still have money in your bank account? Well, sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things. Now, you may have to look for the marvelous things, but he's done marvelous things. And it only takes a trip down memory lane to remind you he's done marvelous things. So let's put point number one back up. Let's praise God in newness of spirit and mind for what he's already done. Already done. Already done. Let me talk about kids in Christmas. When kids in Christmas, they get excited for everything they see under the tree because there's anticipation and there's expectation. However, the parent who knows what's under the tree doesn't just want them to thank them for what's under the tree. They want them to thank them for what's already done. I know you're looking at what's under the tree, but did you forget that you're under a roof that I paid for? Did you forget that the Netflix you watch is with the cable and the internet that I bought? So don't just focus on what's under the tree. Appreciate me for what I've already done. For 9 months I carried you and babied you and changed your diaper. Don't just thank me for what's under the tree. Thank me for what I've already done. And I don't know about you, but he's already done some marvelous things. Now, not rinky-dink things, some marvelous things. If you look back over your life, he's done some great things in your life. Don't you forget what he's already done. When you think about that, it gives you newness of mind and spirit, and then you're able to sing a new song. All right? Because here's the thing. If he's done it before, he can do it again. So when I praise him for what he's done before, I'm saying, I know you'll do it again. So I may not see it right now, but if you did it before, you got the power to do it again. Somebody say, do it again. Let's look at Psalms 98, 1b. The second part of the verse.
His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation or deliverance. But it didn't say deliverance for us. It says he worked deliverance for him. I need you to put point number two up. Then they preach this for just a second. Let's praise God because he delivered us for his name's sake. God didn't bring you out just for you. He brought you out for him. And his hand of deliverance is not so much about you, but it's personal to God. Because what you don't understand, the Bible says there was a time where the angels of the Lord or the sons of God came up before God and Satan came also with them. And Satan said, have you considered your servant Job? So Job went through some stuff that wasn't really about Job. It was about something between God and Satan. And what Satan was saying is if you don't do everything he wants you to do, he'll curse you to your faith. And so what Job went through was not so much about Job. Job, it was about God and Satan. And so I need you to understand your deliverance is personal to God. Yes, it's personal to you, but it's personal to God because his name is on the line. If you remember in way back around Exodus when the children of Israel were cutting up and God said to Moses, I'm getting ready to wipe these folk out and start all over with brand new people. And Moses said, please don't do that. He said, because if you do that, your enemies will say you didn't have the power to bring them out. Your enemies will talk about your name if you don't deliver them. So I need you to understand God's got to deliver you, not because of you, but for his name's sake. Because it makes him look bad if he can't bring you out. It makes him look less than if he can't deliver you. So I know I'm going to be delivered, not because of the scriptures I know, not because of the communion I took, not because I sit under Pastor Andre's ministry, but because of God's name. His name is on the line, and he's a deliverer, and he's a doctor, and he's a lawyer, and he's a keeper, and he'll do it because of his name's sake. His name's on the line, and he's going to deliver me, not just for me, but for him. Put the scripture back up. 1B. I want you to read that scripture again. 98:1b. Read it again. 98:1b. Read it.
His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
For who?
Him.
For him. All right. Let's go down to 98:2. 98:2.
The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nation.
He's made his salvation known, or he's made his deliverance known. It's not something he's keeping hidden. It's not something he's keeping quiet. He's made his salvation or his deliverance known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. That brings me to point number 3. Let's praise God because he chooses to advertise his deliverance through us. I need you to understand you are a walking billboard. You're a walking commercial of what God can do. See, when you get up in the morning, when you wake up and your feet hit the bed and you make it outside, you are telling the world, look at what God can do and look at what God has done. I shouldn't be here, but somehow I'm here. I shouldn't have the mind that I have, but somehow I'm here. I shouldn't have the money I have, but somehow I'm here. I shouldn't have the car I have, but somehow I'm here. And it's not about me. It's not about my education. I'm a walking billboard of what God can do in a life. What God can do if you give your life to God. I am his advertisement. I'm looking at some billboards. I'm looking at some commercials. And somebody said, Campbell's soup is good. But when I look at you, I say, God is good. Because she shouldn't be where she is. She shouldn't be doing what she's doing. She should have been crazy a long time ago. But this had to be the hand of the Lord. It couldn't have been Buddha. It couldn't have been Krishna. It couldn't have been Chanel No. 5 and Louis Vuitton. It couldn't have been Gucci. This had to been God. God brought her out. God turned her around. God fixed her up. And when I see her, she's an advertisement of what God can do. I want you to know you're looking at what God is able to do. When you look at me, I'm a human possibility, a supernatural realm. I'm showing you that what God can do. I shouldn't have what I have, but God stepped in and God got in. I'm like gumbo soup. I got so much junk in me, I shouldn't taste good. But somehow the sausage and the rice and the boil all comes together and the seasoning. And I look good and I smell good and I feel good and I act good. I'm advertisement for what God is able to do in a life if you yield your life to God. Now everybody advertises for something. What are you advertising? Some people, when they get their body right, they make sure to advertise their body. They want you to see everything they've been working on. But I want you to see everything God's doing in my life. Because this is what I want you to understand. I'm never the same man 1 year to the next. The man I was in 19, I'm not that man in 20, because I got God, and God knows how to make things work in my life. God knows how to fix things up. I know God is a rearranger. God is an arranger, and he's a rearranger. And God, like a jigsaw puzzle, he knows how to put the pieces together. He knows how to make stuff look good. He knows how to work it out. You are advertisement for what God can do. So the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, when you fall in new stuff. And I'm not going to try to promise you, 2021 is your year. Y'all ain't going to be beating my door down, being mad at me. I ain't promise you nothing. I don't know what 2021 going to look like. It might be hellish, but all I know, David said, if I make my bed in hell, you'll find me there. If I got to go through hell, at least I ain't going through hell by myself. I got God on my side, and he always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. It may look bad. I may be low right now. I may start it from the bottom, but look at me now. God will bring me up. God will raise me up. He's a resurrecting God. He's a revealing God. He's a rearranging God. He's a working God. He's a good God. He's a miracle God. He's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. It may look bad, but you don't know my God. And sometimes he allows things to get worse just because it makes the advertisement better. It's not always real. You know, when you look at when you look at turkeys in the magazine and turkeys on TV, do you know that turkey's not cooked? They take a raw turkey and they paint it the color they want it to be. And then they cut a slice and they only cook the slice because they're not worried about how it's going to taste. They're worried about how it's going to look because they're worried about the advertisement. And I want you to understand there's some stuff in your life that don't look right. It don't feel right, but God's working on some advertisement. He's working on a commercial because he wants everybody to look at you and say, this had to be God. That's why it didn't work out. That's why it failed, because God knew he was doing something. He works behind the scenes. And I need you to know, all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You guys remember last year we started the year off on January 1, after our watch night service, we had a breakfast together at a place, and we ate together and enjoyed, but my mother helped put the thing together, and elect lady decided to lay down different scriptures on each person's seat, so where they sat, they would have a scripture for the year. When I got my scripture, I turned it over, it was Romans 8:28, all things are working together for the good. I turned it back over and tried to find another seat. I didn't want to hear that verse, because that meant to me that I'm going to have to go through some stuff. But when I tried to move seats, somebody else had already sat down. And so I knew this was for me. So I went ahead and grabbed it. But I'm like, God, what do you have in 2020? Well, hey, now, 2020 was a joker, but all things work together. And whenever I think of this scripture, I think about a baker, and I've never baked anything, but I know watch some stuff being baked. And I know when you got a cake, and I ain't talking about Jiffy, I ain't talking about you went to Walmart and grabbed the cake. I'm talking about when you baking a cake. There's flour, but flour doesn't taste good by itself. And then there's butter. There's salted butter and unsalted butter and vanilla extract. Have you ever tasted vanilla extract? Well, I have, because I'm nosy and I'm curious. And I put some on my tongue and it tasted horrible. But somehow when the vanilla gets with the butter and gets with the flour, and I don't like eggs, especially a raw egg, but they put a raw egg in there and then they beat it together. And when they whip it together, it still ain't what it's supposed to be. Then they stick it in the oven and in the fire. But somehow the butter and the egg and the vanilla and the flour begin to come together. And all things work together for the good. COVID and depression and anxiety, none of those things are good. But when God gets his finger in there and begins to mix things together, he knows how to put it together. You're looking at a pound cake. I smell good. I look good. Oh, God's doing some stuff in my life. All things work together. Now, when my mama was cooking when I was young, she would say, don't you come in here jumping while the cake's in the oven, because it'll cause the cake to fall. And some of y'all, anytime trouble comes, you want to jump. You want to jump out of this and jump out of that. They talked about me on my job. Now I got to find a new job. Sit still for a minute. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Quit jumping. God is working on something. All things work together for the good. Why? Because he's advertising. And so before I move on, I got to tell you this. The Bible says that Jesus got word of a friend of his, a friend of the family. He was a friend of the family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he got word that Lazarus had died. And so Jesus told the disciples that we have to go to Bethany, but we're not going right now. But we do have to go because Lazarus is asleep. And the disciples said, if he's asleep, then he's going to wake up. And Jesus said, I'm so tired of dealing with y'all dull folk. Lazarus is dead. But then they was like, well, ain't we going to go? And he said, no, we're not going to go, because this is to reveal what God can do. So it means that God purposely, Jesus purposely stayed late so that he can show the power of God. It means he could have stopped Lazarus from dying, but he allowed him to die. He waited. Sometimes he don't come when you want him, but he's always on time. And the Bible says when he got to Lazarus' tomb, all of Bethany was there because they knew Lazarus and they knew Mary and they knew Martha. Everybody was there together. So here's the thing. God didn't raise Lazarus for Lazarus. God raised Lazarus for the entire city. But the entire city wouldn't have come unless he allowed Lazarus to die. So he had allowed the situation to get worse first. He had allowed it to get darker first, because he's in the business of advertising. He's in the business of showing how big and how bad he is. So sometimes he lets the devil do his work and do his thing. He lets the situation get darker so he can step in and turn the thing around. You don't want God to come too quick, because if he comes too quick, won't nobody know how good your God is. You want him to sometimes take his time and saunter in to something he should have fixed a long time ago. But when he shows up, he say, Lazarus, come forth. Kelly, come forth. Devin, come forth. Alan, come forth. Hattie, come forth. Because he's doing what he's doing, but he's coming at the right time, because you are his advertisement. Somebody say, I'm a walking billboard. Let's look at Psalms 98 and 3.
He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Read it one more time for us.
He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Point number four, let's praise God because he always remembers his love for us. The scripture says it this way. He says that he forgets our sins. He throws our sins into the sea of forgiveness. Now, I know y'all don't have it, but I've got a lot of sins. I'm talking about since I've been saved. I got some stuff I done wrong since I've been saved. But that's not what he remembers. He remembers his love for me. He doesn't remember my sins. I'm so glad I told y'all last week that God's not petty like humans are petty. There's some folk that won't let you live down a thing in your life. But God's not like that. He remembers his love for us. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What the idea of Christmas is about God giving his son to be born in human flesh and to come into this life. He always remembers his love. And when he could judge you, he remembers his love. When he could punish you, he remembers his love. When he could cast you out, he remembers his love. When he could kick you out, he remembers his love. When he could forget about you, he remembers his love. When he could deny you, he remembers his love, because his love, it reaches to the highest mountain. His love flows to the lowest valley. Well, somebody said, you ain't quoting that right, Pastor, because the song says his blood, but you have to understand his blood is because of his love. And so his love reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The love that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. When I plead the blood, I'm pleading his love, because his love is higher than high. His love is deeper than deep. His love is wider than wide. He loved me when I was wrong. He loved me when I was confused. He loved me when I was high. He loved me when I was sinning. He loved me when I was mixed up. He loved me when I was jacked up. He always remembers his love. Woo! I love him because he first loved me. I can't love like God can love. His love is unconditional. The Bible says his love is past finding out. His love is so supernatural. It's so amazing. It's so crazy. It doesn't make sense the way he loves. The only reason why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching was because of his love. And no many of you heard my testimony, but I won't tell it again. Won't tell it all. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. I'll just let you know I walked to my dorm room and found the door locked. And I was trying to get in my dorm room and I was locked out for the night. And I ended up in the meeting area where we would play cards. And I just said this, God, if you're so real, you got to show me something. And I said it with a mindset. For the last several months, I've been thinking about the God that my parents had told me about after I got to college and I got edumacated. After I got edumacated, that God didn't seem so real. He was a figment of my imagination. I know my mama and daddy believe in him, but I'm down here by myself and I don't see the God they talking about. I don't wake up with no goosebumps and I don't wake up with no hand. I wake up with hangovers. I wake up with lust and I don't know about this God, but if you're so real, you got to show me something. Why did I say that? I don't know what made me form my mouth to say that, but then I heard somebody come in the room and turned around and looked and was nobody in the room. And then a few minutes later, somebody else came in the room and I looked over my other shoulder and nobody was in the room. But then I felt a presence into the room and I realized the God that I just thought wasn't real, he's showing me that he's real, real. Jesus is real to me. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so, because he's so real to me. And when he walked in the room and I felt the presence of God, what I always say, I felt love like I've never felt it in my entire life. I felt love. I describe it like being in the ocean or being in water. If you're being in the water where you're submerged and if you move your arms in water, it is so weighty. It's hard to push the water. That's how the love felt. It felt like I was submerged in his love. And here I was acting a fool and challenging him. But when he showed up and he could have punished me, he could have snatched the breath out of my body. But he showed up with an amazing love, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was the love of God. It was the matchless love of God that gave me a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a 99th chance. His love is amazing. His love is reckless. His love doesn't make sense, but he loves unconditionally and he always remembers his love. I'm not the only one with a testimony. Some of y'all should have overdosed, but he remembered his love. Some of y'all should have HIV, but he remembers his love. Some of y'all should have lost some limbs, but he remembered his love. You should be crazy, but he remembered his love. Oh, let me just say it this way. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master and the captain of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the water lifted me. Now safe and I, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. He loved me beyond generations. He loved me beyond my sin. He loved me beyond my lust. He loved me beyond my addiction. He loved me beyond my foolishness. He loved little old me and he loves little old you.
And he always remembers his love. His love is sweet. His love is amazing. See, many of us who've been loved by humans, we have traumatic experiences. Many of us are walking around dealing with trauma because somebody in the earthen realm didn't love us right. Maybe somebody that was supposed to protect us touched us wrong. Or somebody walked out on us. And if you really be honest with you, a lot of the issues you deal with is because there's broken love somewhere down in your life. But if you look to Jesus, some songwriter said, look to Jesus now and live. If you look to God, he's got a love that passes knowledge. He got a love that'll heal you. Now you got to understand, if you got trauma, he may not want to heal you overnight. Some of the reason why you don't feel what you need to feel because you want everything to be fixed like a magic wand. But let God love you. Let God sit with you in your trauma and sit with you in your anxiety and sit with you in your junk. Some of us need some soul healing and some self-healing, but we got to open up God's love and let God's love get in there and let God's love fix it. Because when God's love comes in, he don't come in to do no quick job. He comes in to work. You ever been in a hotel room and when you leave, they come in and they clean the room. But when they clean the room, there's still dust and there's some stuff left because they cleaned it real quick. They ain't trying to do no deep cleaning. But let me let you know, God's love is deep cleaning love. He'll arrange stuff you don't want rearrange. He'll mess with stuff you don't want mess with. He'll bring up memories you don't want brought up. But he's doing it so he can love you from all the way down to your core to let you know there's nobody can love you like me. Nobody can love you like me. No, nobody can love you like me. The old saints say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Let me change it. Can't nobody love me like Jesus. He's my friend. He loves us. Well, let me be honest. Because of church, we got to do a whole lot of faking sometimes. Because, Teresa, if I tell you everything going on in my life and everything I've done in between Sundays, you may say, I ain't coming back to your church because you a mess. But see, there's some stuff that you can't handle about me, but there's nothing about me God can't handle. There's some stuff about you that I can't handle. I want to plug my ears when you tell me what you've been through. But God sees it all. He knows it all. And he still loves you. He loves you. Unconditional. He knows what it's like to come out of heaven and get put down in a place where manure is and be in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And you think, madam, it doesn't make no sense for God to be in a manger and there's no room in the inn. But let me tell you something. There's nothing like the cows and the goats and the hay and let me just be crass, the poop that's in your life. But yet he comes out of heaven and comes down into your manger. And like the baby in swaddling clothes, he lays in your life. But here's the thing. He don't just lay there as a baby. He comes as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he raises up in your life. And that's why you're thinking different. And that's why you're acting different. And that's why you got business ideas. Because God's inside of there, living inside of you. Let me say it again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's because of his love. His love. There's no love like this love. There's no love like this love. And you've been chasing love, but there's no love like this love. I promise you. When my daddy didn't love you, it don't make a difference. There's no love like this love. When my wife cheated on me, it didn't make a difference because there's no love like this love. Not that those things don't hurt, but let me tell you something. Nobody can heal you with the love of God. Oh, it's the love of God that keeps you pulled to this ground. They call it gravity, but it's not gravity. It's really lovity because it's the love of God that keeps us from floating around and exploding in this atmosphere. There's so many things around us that can kill us, but it's the love of God. Here's the problem. We only think about it when it doesn't work. See, when somebody dies in an accident and the whole family is killed, we say, God, where was you at? What was you doing? But we don't think about all the million times he kept everybody together. We forget about his love. Just because one slipped through the crack don't mean God's not good. God is still good. If you don't know God is good, let me remind you, because you've seen it before. Have you ever pulled up to a gas station and seen somebody pumping gas with one hand and smoking with another hand? It could have blown up the whole block, but God's love is so great. He keeps things together. He holds things together. Danger seen and unseen. It doesn't make a difference. God is good. God is love. I can't tear these walls down and think about all the wires that are going through these walls. It might be a bad wire. It might be a wire that could burn up this whole church. But God, with his love, is holding stuff together and keeping stuff together. Your raggedy car should have died a long time ago. It didn't have no business going 250,000 miles. But love got in the engine and held the car together. Love done held that clothes together. Love done held your body together. Love done held your mind together. Love done held your refrigerator together. Love done held your TV together. It was the love of God. Put point number four up again before we move on. Point number four. Let's praise God because he always remembers his love for us. Now we're going to read Psalms 98:4, 98:5, and 98:6.
Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. I'm going to read it after she reads it. Go to verse 5.
Make music to the Lord with the harp and with the sound of singing.
Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing. Verse 6.
With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord.
With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord your King. That brings us to point number 5. Would you put it up? Let's praise God with a shout and a praise worthy of a king. I wanted to remind you of his love, because many times, unless we think about his love, we can only think about our troubles. But one song said, think about his love and think about his goodness that brought us through, as high as the heavens above. So great is the Father's love. I want you to think about his love so I can turn around and tell you this is not the season and this is not the Sunday to have a quiet praise. This is not the Sunday to have a praise on hush mouth. This is the Sunday to shout and give God a praise worthy of the King. And I don't have time for the lie to end. Do it right now and give God a praise that's worthy of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to go ahead and give God some praise and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph and shout unto the Lord with the voice of victory. And hope you don't mind me. I got to get mine in. God, you've been good. And God, I thank you. And God, I exalt you. And God, I lift you up. There's nobody like you, God. I praise your name. You a big God. You a mighty God. You an awesome God. You a great God. I love you, God. I lift you up, God. Nobody like my God. Come on, keep praising him. Mother Mitchell, would you do the same thing and just praise him in the mic so the people can hear, because the people on the live can't hear everybody in the building.
We bless your name, Jesus. We honor you. We exalt you. We extol you. We magnify you. We love you. We lift your name on high. Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to your name. You're
yes.
worthy to be praised.
Yes.
Worthy to be honored. Worthy to be lifted up.
Yes.
Worthy is the
yes.
Lamb. Worthy is the
yes.
Lamb. Shande. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Glory.
Glory to your name.
He's a
we
worthy God.
We glorify you.
He's
we
a worthy God.
We glorify you. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Bishop.
Glory.
Can you get the mic and do the same thing? Just praise the Lord.
Shandaliate. Hi-ya-ya-ya-ya. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Marvelous God.
Yes.
Wonderful King. Great I am. Shepherd of the sheep.
Yes.
Friend to the friendly.
Yes.
Joy of the whole earth. Yeah, God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for the people of God, the men and the women of God. Hallelujah. We praise you, God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's nobody like you, God. There's no joy like your joy.
Yes.
No peace like your peace.
Yes.
No power like your power. You are all the great I am. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, God. Didn't that feel good? Come on, you got a few more seconds. Let him have his way. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Hey, glory. Hallelujah.
Almost 300,000 people died in America alone based off of COVID. But somehow you made it to the last Sunday of the year. Hey, glory. I don't know how many people rode in a plane this year, but your plane went up and it came back down. You ought to give God praise. Woo! If you was able to eat a steak this year, you ought to give God praise. Hey! It's a praise worthy of a king. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. He's the one. And if you can't praise him for anything, you can praise him for Calvary's cross. That he hung, bled, and died. If I was Baptist, I would say it this way. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. They put him in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, he got up with all power in his hand. And he deserves the praise. Shout. There's nothing necessarily wrong with a quiet praise. But quiet praise is not always appropriate. This is a season for a radical praise. This is a season for a crazy praise. This is a season for a marvelous praise because he's done great things. He's done great things. Let's look at 98.7 and 98.8. Read both of those for us.
Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy.
Point number 6. Let's praise God until all of nature can feel our praises. I believe that when we praise, we're praising into atmospheres. And we begin to make atmospheric shifts. The weather system is based on atmospheres. And storms come when atmospheres mix and shift and they come together. And that's where they'll say it's some hot air coming from the south and there's some cool air coming together and it's causing some type of storm to mix in the earth and the whole earth is over a storm because of what's mixing in the atmosphere. And I'm here to let you know going into 2021, your praise is going to change some atmosphere. If you need rain, it's going to rain for you. It's going, like Harpo said, it's going to rain on your head. It's going to rain blessings because you're going to praise until nature feels it. You're going to praise until the earth shifts. You're going to praise until things happen. You're going to praise until the trees bow. You're going to praise until the stars move. You're going to praise until the sun comes out. You're going to praise until the flowers bud. You're going to praise until COVID leaves. You're going to praise until money comes. You're going to praise until marriage comes. You're going to praise until healing comes. You're going to praise in the atmosphere. You don't know how important you are to the atmosphere because you, your praise, and it is true that it's not always about loud praise, but one verse says, Paul said, I think myself happy. You can think yourself happy. You ain't got to open your mouth. You can stand in a bad situation and think thoughts of good. See, the world calls it the power of positive thinking, but they got it from the church. We can think things that happen. I command in the name of Jesus, no bullets will hit my car and hit my child. Nothing will happen because I think it in the atmosphere. I'm somebody in God. I'm the body of Christ. And when I stand in the atmosphere, I make things happen in the atmosphere. Even nature knows it. This is a child of the King.
If Bill Gates was your daddy,
you wouldn't walk around earth acting like you don't have the access that you have. And when you walk into a place and they give you trouble, you tell them, listen, Bill Gates is my daddy. So I don't know what you got to do. You go into a hotel and they say they ain't got no rooms. I don't care if you got to make a room in the middle of the lobby. Bill Gates is my daddy. So you go find a room. I reserve the room and you make up a room. I ain't leaving until I get a room because Bill Gates is my daddy. He can buy this hotel and he can fire you because I know who my daddy is. If you can act that way about Bill, what about the King of Kings? What about great Jehovah? What about God? I'm here to tell the devil, you better make a way for me. You better get out of my way. Doors better open for me. Things better happen for me because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm anointed for this. I'm built for this. I got a mind for this. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. I was built to last. I wasn't built to break. Somebody say this. I wasn't built to break. I was built to last. And 2021, you need a bounce back spirit. A spirit that'll make you bounce back from whatever's pushing you over. You might be like a weeble wobble. You may weeble, you may wobble, but you're going to bounce right back up. I got a bounce back anointing. You can't keep me down. You can't push me over. You can't stop this blessing. You can't stop this joy. You can't stop this peace. I got a bounce back anointing and God is on my side. And he fights for me. Sister Ella, he fights for you. Sister Darlene, he fights for you. I wish I could call all your names, but God fights for you. He is on your side. That's why we praise God. Many times we're praising him on credit for what he's getting ready to do. Not just for what he's already done, but what he's getting ready to do. We exist in between was and will be. What he has done and what he will do. We live in between that. It's called the present. But the present is the present because it's a gift. Because you can enjoy the present because you know what happened in the past. And you know what's going to happen into the future. So you know today is a present. So enjoy today. Let me just stop. This is my last Sunday of the year. So let me just stop and pause on that just for a second. Some stuff, you can worry about it tomorrow. You ain't got to spend all your day thinking about troubles and bills. If they're going to evict you, they're going to evict you. You might as well put your candles on in your dark house with no electricity and enjoy yourself while you're at it. You might as well borrow somebody else's DVD and borrow somebody else's cable and enjoy yourself while you can. You ain't got time to worry about what's getting ready to come. Enjoy God where you are. Because that's why it's called a present. Now, I'm not saying that you don't plan for the future. Anybody who doesn't plan for the future is a fool. I'm not saying that you don't plan for the future, but let's be honest. Sometimes stuff just hits and stuff just happens. And many times it's demonic attack. But let me let the devil know something. I'm not going to trip out over every attack because you're doing what you're supposed to do. You the devil, you're supposed to act ugly. You're supposed to do crazy stuff. I ain't going to flip out over every crazy thing that happens in my life. I'm going to do like my mama said, I'm going to bed. What you gonna do? They laying off on your job. I'm taking a nap. Why I got to worry about it? The Bible says God neither slumbers nor does he sleep. Why should both of us be up? If God ain't sleeping, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to bed. I'll deal with it tomorrow. And if it don't get fixed tomorrow, I'm going back to bed. Now, I know some of y'all too safe for this, but I done got a little freer in my anointing. So I'm going to get me a glass of wine and I'm going to bed. I ain't gonna get drunk because I'm still saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. But every now and then, that Stella Rose take the edge off and I'm going to bed. I ain't got time to worry and fret. The God that did it before, he's got enough power to do it again. And don't you call me with none of your bad news. I'm turning my phone off. Some of the best sleep I get is when I turn my phone off. Your problems can wait till tomorrow. I know I'm your pastor, but I don't feel like talking to nobody. I'm shutting my phone off. I'm going to bed and I'll wake up tomorrow and deal with it tomorrow. I'm not going to let nobody stress me out in 2021. Sister Teresa, I do enough good stressing my own self. Why I'm going to let you stress me out too? I ain't got time for it. Let me tell on myself sometimes, but I don't feel like being bothered with you when I text you back. All you get is an emoji. Pastor, I got an emergency. I sent back praying hands. Because I'm going to bed. God knew you had an emergency before you text me. I can't fix every problem. I can't deal with everything. I'm just me, so I'm putting it in God's hand. I'm going to bed, and you better go to bed too. Don't be mad at me. Pastor just sent me praying hands. That's all you need is some praying hands. I can't fix your trouble, but I know who can. Psalms 98:9. We gotta get out of here.
Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Let's put point number 7 up. Let's praise God for his equity in the midst of an unfair, cruel world. In a world where somebody can kneel on a man's neck until he gasps for air, we still live in a cruel, racist, ugly, nasty world. But the Bible says he rules his people with equity. That means that even when God gets ready to give it to you, no racist mind can keep it from you. When God opens a door, here's the problem. Sometimes we go to these job offers with these black sounding names, Tatika Taka, and they're going to put that right in the trash because your name sound too black. They don't want to be bothered with you. But somehow they're going to read Tatika Taka and they're going to see James Mitchell, and somehow they're going to put you to the front of the line. And when you walk in looking black, talking ghetto, they're going to be so shocked. How'd you get in? Oh, you the one who put me in. When did I put you in? I don't know, but you called me and said the job was mine. I didn't mean to call you, but baby, I'm here now. When God get ready to bring equity to your life, it don't make a difference what the devil does. I don't care what racist demon does. I don't care what gender demon tries to do it. God can turn around because he's got equity. We fight for equality, but God has equity. See, equity is, see equality. Let me talk about my sister. Let's say my sister has $10,000 and I have $2,000. And in order for me to have equality with her, I got to go up to 10 or she got to come back down to 2. And some of us with the wrong mindset, we want other folk to pull down. We like crabs in a barrel. In order to have equality, I got to pull you down. But with equity, God gives me what I'm worth, regardless of what the other person is worth. See, even if she has 10,000 and I have 2, if I'm worth 100,000, God won't stop me till I get to 100,000 because he gives me equity. It's not always fairness, it's equity. And I've been through too much to get what everybody else got. I don't want what everybody else got. I don't want a car like everybody else. I don't want a suit like everybody else. I want my own tailor-made blessing. I want something that fits me. And you ain't gotta like it because it ain't for you. But what God has for me, it is for me. I praise him for his equity in my life. And I'm here to prophesy. Some of y'all are going to walk into some equity. Where they've been doing you wrong on your job. Let me talk to you, Ella, for a second. They've been doing you wrong on your job for a long time. But in 2021, equity going to show up. And they're going to do stuff for you that they didn't plan on doing. They're going to be mad that they did it. They don't know why they did it. But when God brings equity, the Bible said the king's heart is in God's hand. And he turns it however he want to turn it. Even crazy Trump on his way out, God's bringing equity. He say $600 ain't good enough. Give him $2,000. He just doing that so he look like the hero. I don't care how he comes up with it. I don't care why he did it. But if they gonna give me more, I'll take it. Cause God brings equity. He can take an evil, wicked person and make them work on my behalf. I praise God for his equity in my life. All right, let's put this up. Epilogue. So I'm done with Psalms 96, 97, 98, and the epilogue is just summarizes the full thing. So we're closing Adventures in Praise, and this is how we're closed with one final verse. And would you read it, Mother Mitchell, and then I will read it again after you.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
You know anything about Psalms 150, which is the last psalm in the entire book of Psalms? It says praise him on the high sounding cymbals and praise him with the trumpet and the harp. And it says everything praise him. Let everything praise him. But then it comes to us and it summarizes it this way. It says let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I need to do just one demonstration as we close. Everybody breathe in. Breathe out. If you breathe out, that means you have breath. And if you have breath, you have one assignment for 2020 and 2021. Praise ye the Lord. Listen, you're not going to stop having adventures in your life. Stop thinking you're going to show up one day and it's going to be easy street. The Bible says that even Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. So you're going to have adventures, but you might as well have adventures with a praise in your spirit and a praise on your lips. Come on, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise your name. And we honor you. You're setting us up these last several Sundays so we can move into the next year with a praise. Now, last year, as we closed last year, we talked about blind spots, saying there's things that we cannot see. And then we showed up into 2020, and there was so much happening that we didn't even see coming. We didn't see this stuff coming. But God, you're preparing us this year to go into the next year with a praise. So everything may not be easy. Everything may not be perfect. There may be more challenges to come, but we understand the assignment you've given us. You've assigned us to keep a praise in our spirit, a praise on our lips, and a praise in our life. And because of that, like the songwriter said, when praises go up, blessings come down. I declare we'll be like Goshen. When everything around is going bad, God will still be blessing us. God, in this year of the pandemic, somehow we paved our parking lot in a pandemic. And somehow we redid our bathrooms in a pandemic. It doesn't make sense. We don't have people coming inside the building like we used to, but yet they're still giving. They're watching online because you know how to work it around. You know how to fix it up. You gave us a grant in a pandemic. You bring money in the pandemic. And God, if you did it in 2020, you're going to do it in 2021. And throughout this decade, you're going to keep blessing us and we're going to keep praising you. You're going to keep blessing us and we're going to keep thanking you. And God, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, God, I'm so grateful that the bishop, the apostle of this house said we needed to end the service by making sure and have an appeal for salvation for everybody. So please, those in the house, would we say it? Even if you're saved, just say it with me. Say, Father God, I want this praise in my life. But I can't have this praise in my life without having your son in my life. So I repent of my sins. I ask your son to be in my life. And I'm going to praise the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen.